that this nation was born out of. Even in Wake Forest, I got some lectures off the lines, and in Harvard, they say you cannot understand the thought pattern of the colonialist, and you cannot understand the words of the Declaration of Independence if you do not know about the Great Awakening. And then I read, oh, it's like reading a novel, the biography that Pollock wrote of Jonathan Whitfield. And you should get that from us. We'll have it for you. It costs us quite a bit for that book, I think, but I think our cost is $10. But we'll send it to you for $10 plus shipping. And it is the biography of Whitfield and how he actually literally gave his life riding, constantly canoeing, fighting storms and winds. And his dream was, he came across the Atlantic, I think, 7 or 8 times, and his dream was that the colonies should be united. They had come apart because they had moved west, and the Puritans and the Pilgrims had come over with their zeal for following God. But the peoples had spread apart, and there were no good roads, and the colonies were divided. And this Englishman, God put it on his heart. This Englishman's heart was that this united, we should be united. The colonies should be united, and they should be one nation under God. And so I've been thinking about that. I've been thinking about, I think I'll talk today at noon about that move of God that was on that remote island, Lewis Island, where our president's mother came from. And they started having outpourings from God. They started having awakenings in 1820 was the first one. And they had so many. One, there would be an awakening. There would be a, it was a very remote place. Not many people lived there. And it would be, and it would become a move, a sweep of God on the Lewis Island and the Hebrides. It took 7 hours to get there from the mainland in a little boat at that time, and even on down to 1949. And so it was segregated, but it was so moved by God that all the people on the island, even like when one of these moves would come and then it would wane, even the unsaved years later would have a family altar in their home and would read the Bible. There's something in the background of Donald Trump that has made him have a good rapport with Christians, that has favor, that he gives favor to us. But we've got to support him. We have to support him with prayer. And we need a move of God. We need an awakening of God in this nation. There came the time when it had waned again, and when there would come a wane in the move of God, then God would preserve us a nation. He'd put it on some hearts of some people to pray. It happened. There was a great what we call awakenings. Now revivals, they are the Spirit of God upon God's people, and they revive God's people. People are added to the church, but awakenings affect the whole of the community. They affect the whole of the culture, and they fall upon people. There, that awakening that came just before the Civil War, 1857, 1859, there was such a cloud of God's presence on this country that a ship out 100 miles, the ships that were coming in would begin to feel it. One ship, as it was coming in, the people all fell under the power of God, and the captain wired into the land and said, have a minister ready. Send us a minister. That came before the Civil War. How did it come? It came primarily through a man named Jeremiah Lampier, and he was at the old Dutch church, which had been, back in the 1700s, there had been people that lived around this church that were, you know, families and homes, and it became a trade center. This nation grew. That church was right where the Twin Towers stood, and the nation grew. And the people moved out, and it became a trade center. But the church board, they wanted people to come in back to the church again, so they hired a man named Jeremiah Lampier. And Jeremiah Lampier started knocking on doors of all these factories and businesses and offices and invited them to church. They didn't come. He wore himself out. So one day at noon, he just prayed. It was an upstairs room where he prayed. And God gave him an idea. He printed a handbill and invited people to come and pray with him. The power of God came down on him. At the first prayer meeting, 6 people climbed the stairs and prayed with him. But it was only 3 months before churches all over town at noon were filled with praying people. One theater was filled with praying people. People were standing outside in lines to get in. Then it spread to Philadelphia. Then it spread across the whole United States of America. And it became the fact that every day at noon, people were praying, and then God poured out what really saved us in the Civil War. I believe we would have gone down in the Civil War because slavery had to be judged, and it was judged in that war, but we survived it. Why did we survive? I think because of this 1857 through 59 awakening to God. It came on the North. It came on the South. They had in the camps and in the hospitals of the armies and the soldiers, there came this move of God's presence. We need that move of God's presence. We need that upon the troubled hearts. The sinners would fall in the streets, even back in the, they'd fall in the fields, back in the Lewis Island where Donald Trump's mother came from, in the Northern Ireland. It would fall upon the farmers. A man was going to market. He wasn't even thinking of God. He had come back when he was counting his silver from what he had sold at the market. This was in Ballymena, Northern Ireland. And the power of God came down on him and he fell. We need the power of God to move and to fall upon the peoples. We need that power of God again manifested. Praise his name. And God gave us this. He gave us this commission. You don't have to fall in disrepair. Your governments can be better. You can have a quiet and peaceable life. You can win people to the Lord if you maintain these things. And so that's why he told us in 1 Timothy 2:1, he told us to, first of all, pray for those who are in authority. At that time, kings. He said, make intercession. Make prayers. Make supplications. Make giving of thanks. Offer up this for the lands and the places where you live. And I want us to do that right now. I want us to pray right now for an outpouring, for that there would be in this nation, that some of the troubled souls, they're so upset. The enemy has them upset. They're deceived, and they think vain things. Their minds don't think often of God. Maybe some of them do, but they're still doing things, you know, and feeling horrible things, really, in their hearts. They need that presence of God upon them. Oh, Father, let's pray a little bit. Let's pray just a little bit now. Father, in the name above all names, you said, first of all, pray for those who are in authority. We pray now today, Heavenly Father, for the authority in Israel. Things have happened, dear God, in Syria just this past week. They have happened there, and there is even a rumor, or maybe it's more than a rumor, maybe the Israelis have more than that, that there could be the introduction of chemical warfare. Oh, Father, in the name above all names, we ask you, we pray for those leaders, dear Father, of the opposing forces. We pray for those leaders, Father, of the Hezbollah and of the Syrian government and of Rostam Akaya, the Irani. Dear God, fall upon them. Give them dreams in the nighttime. We often pray for the confusion in their camps, and we do that. We lift up those, Rostam Akaya, who are righteous. But we ask you also to move upon the unrighteous. We ask you here in our own nation, people who don't know God, people who people who ascend have come far away from the things of God, and they so and we pray for our leaders in this country. We pray today for President Donald John Trump, for Michael Pence, Vice President. We pray, Heavenly Father, especially for our Secretary of State and the State Department. We pray, dear Father, for all Aramakaya. We are thanking you for our justices. We are praising you that we will have a new justice this very week, and that we will have what we need. You will give us what we need. Oh, Father, we pray. I pray for the praying people. I pray for the body of Christ. I pray that we, Father, would have somehow the spirit of prayer so drop upon us, so come upon us, that we would be like those little ladies in the Lewis Island. Two sisters in their 80s, one body racked with arthritis, the other one blind, and they said, we can pray. We'll start at 4 in the morning, and we'll pray until 10 o'clock in the morning. And they prayed every day because they had tasted an outpouring. They had tasted the move of God, and now it had waned, and they saw their young people off, and they prayed, and it came again. 1949 through 1952, the great Duncan Campbell was a witness of it and publicized it. Oh, Father, we know that we have people praying now. We know that you've been kind and good to pour out a spirit of prayer, but we ask for more. We ask for more, Father. We ask you to increase that call to prayer upon us, and we're asking you for more of that outpouring, that kind of an awakening where those who are Ristodomokoya, not even seeking God, will fall. In the streets will fall from the power of God, will sense the power of God and come to the Lord. Oh, dear Father, I pray for all those people that have called in today. I mean, these people are prayers. These people, Heavenly Father, are the ones who have committed to call in on a Wednesday morning. And they love Israel, Lord. And we watch Israel. As we watch Israel now, Father, they're coming into these days. They're coming into these anniversaries, Lord. These wonderful anniversaries. 100 years since 1917, when the Balfour Proclamation was made, that they could come home to their homeland, and it would be a home for the Jews. 100 years since General Allenby and the Anzac soldiers freed, with your hand upon them, freed Israel from the Ottoman Turkish Empire's rule for 400 years. So that's 100 years. Holy Father, blessed Father, glorious Father, in 1947, it was 70 years ago, that the UN partition was written, and that it was decided that that land of Israel could be, that the Jews could have their own nation. The UN voted on it. And how thankful we are, 70 years ago, that our President Harry S. Truman was one of the early voters, signers for, and that we could be counted as a nation that blessed Israel. And then, Father, 50 years ago was that Six-Day War when they got back Jerusalem. So now, Father, as they approach this Passover season, coming into Passover, the time when you brought them out, of Egypt, you brought them out, and you said, today, this month begins a new month for me. This a new year, and you gave them and you gave the world your calendar of redemption. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1, and you brought those people out, and they had this wonderful night when they put the blood upon their doorposts and the blood upon their lintels, and you brought them out, and you saved them. You parted that Red Sea, and you used them, Father, to reveal yourself to the nations. Dear Father, we do know that sometimes the enemies of God like to use these wonderful dates, moeds, specific times. They like to use them, Father, to, as you well know, they like to use them to cause havoc, to bring about terrorist activity. And Father, the shooting the other day in Jerusalem and the things, the stabbing rather, and the things that happen. Dear Father, we do pray over this season. We do lift up this season. We lift up the Passover season that is coming now. We plead that blood that the Passover blood stood for. We plead it over the meetings and the homes and the houses and the synagogues of the Jewish people as they do what you told them to do. You told them to rehearse every year that on this night, God brought my father, God brought me out of Egypt. Each one of them are to feel that, and we pray that they do. We're thankful for this nation that has kept these dates to Rosh the Micaiah to obey you, and that those dates you have kept them through their keeping the Sabbath and their keeping these holy days. Keep them, Father, this year. Keep them this year, I pray, in the name above all names. It is written in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4 and verse 13, that nothing is hidden to you. Everything is open to you. And so we pray today for any plots that might have been hatched or are being hatched. We know that it happens. We know that they're doing it. We know that they brought about things in London and they've brought about things, but oh Father, we lift them up today. I didn't hear, but perhaps we have someone from the UK on today. Perhaps we have some others from Europe, Lord. And we do pray for all the Jews in all of these lands and the ones here that this Passover season your hand will be upon them. We do thank you that this United States of America is friendly to Israel, Lord, and that we have in our administration, Lord. And I know even in the House of Representatives and those people, there are people in our Congress on both sides of the aisle who are very friendly toward Israel. How thankful we are. How we do praise you. How we do give you glory that we can truly believe and know we can claim that blessing of Genesis, which says, if you bless Israel, I will bless you. If you curse Israel, I will curse you. We're glad we're free from the cursings on a national level. We're glad that we're in the blessings on a national level. We do praise you for it and give you glory for it in Jesus' holy name. I had a telephone call from John Hagee this week, and he and Diana Hagee had gone to Washington, D.C., and in Washington, D.C., they had had a Shabbat meal with the Israeli ambassador, and they had had some meetings with government leaders and government officials, and this is such a time for us to stand with Israel. I am a regional leader for this Christians United for Israel. John Hagee called me when he first was deciding to have this, when God put it upon his heart to have this. Actually, Benjamin Netanyahu said to John Hagee, there are so many people, this has been more than 10 years ago now, there are so many groups in America now that are pro-Israel. If you could just unite them under one umbrella, how powerful it would be. And he said, too, Benjamin Netanyahu, he said, you know, Jesus himself can't unite them. How can I do it? But he came home and prayed about it, And he called several leaders, and I was one of the ones he called. And so I've been there from the beginning. I've five states that we are over in a leadership capacity. So he called the leadership this week. We're going to have a summit in Washington, D.C. in July, a CUFI summit, and it is going to be star-studded with governmental leaders. That's what he said. That's what the words that he said. And so it's really, really important that we have people come to that summit. And if you would go on CUFI.org, Christians United for Israel, you can find out how you can register to be with us at that summit in July. We're going to be there at the middle and toward the middle and end of July. And then I have such a burden for our nation that we have got to be exercising the authority of the believer over our places where we live, our habitational authority. So we're going, as a ministry, we're going in 18th, I believe it is 17th or 18th. We did have it for the 18th of August, but I think we're moving it to the 17th. And we're going to be at a church in Newcastle, Delaware, teaching on the authority of the believer. And then on Sunday, August 20th, at 7 o'clock p.m., we're going to have a first-of-all rally on the Mall in Washington, D.C. And when you register, and you do need to register for that, just that one on the 20th, you can go online to billybrim.org and register. And we're going to have white T-shirts, and you don't have to wear a T-shirt, but you can. But we're going to gather there. And I know some many will already have been to the Washington Summit in July. If you only can go to one, go to that one. But if you can come and be with us in August on that Mall, we're going to be praying. We're going to be taking the authority of the believer as we stand there where we can see the White House, and we can see the Capitol, and we're going to all pray together. I would ask you, if you can, to be with us. Go to billybrim.org. And then we're asking you if you will sign up to our First of All campaign. I have asked that they tell me how many we have. I don't know how many we have on it already. Several hundred, but we need thousands and thousands who, when they go to their prayer each day, will obey what the Word says and will first of all pray for our leaders. And if you will go to that, to this number, 1-800-972-3447, that's 1-800-972-3447, and say, I want to sign up. You don't have to do anything else. Just say, I'm going to sign up. You can leave if you'd like your email and your address. And we want to be able to say, I'd like to be able to say, even when I go to the CUFI, that there are so many thousands of people that have agreed. I can tell you this nation will change. I can tell you we will have an outpouring. And I do thank you for being, probably all of you have already gone and done that. And if you'd like to have George Whitfield's biography, you can call us at that same number. Bless the Lord. That we're offering it a special price, $10 plus shipping. We do thank you for remembering our Migdal Arbel project. We're going. Oh, you can still go with us to Israel. We have a few seats left. We have a few seats left on our Israel tour, which will begin. And it begins, I'm leaving early, so I have to think when you'll be there. You'll be there on the 29th of May, and you'll be there during that special time when it's the 50th anniversary of them getting back Jerusalem. So call that number, 1-800-972-3447, or you can call 417-336-4877 and ask about our Israel tour. Call the Israel tour department. We're going to visit Migdal Arbel. We're going to go up there again. And now we praise the Lord. In that zoning meeting, we did get a favorable reading, a favorable decision. They gave us a list of things we have to do. And so right now in the Spirit, Father, we're all together and we're lifting up that list. Check it off, Father. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Ahat, Shtaim, Shalosh, Arba, Hamish. One by one, Father, please help our people in Israel to meet those requirements. And then, Father, how we do thank you and praise you for the building permit. That's just coming up real soon. We ask for it sooner, so, Lord, so that the hand of the Lord will be upon it. I thank you, Father. I remember when that lady gave us $1 million. I'm writing about it in a letter, and if you want to get that letter and hear the story and see the picture of the stock that she had, the Abbott stock that she gave us, that her grandfather got coming over on an immigrant ship. Actually, one day, we needed $1 million to buy the property, and we had it was $1.8 million. We had the $0.8 million, and it was due, the $1 million. And I heard the voice of the Lord say to me as I was driving to the say to me, someone is going to give you $1 million today. When we got to the office, a woman from California had called that I didn't know. She'd been watching me for 20 years, and she gave us $1 million. We flew out there, and it was stock, Abbott stock, from that her grandfather had gotten from Mr. Abbott, who they rode together on the same immigration ship. God has moved that way before, and he's moving that way again. And I thank you, Father, again, for all the donors, the people that are giving right now to Migdal Arbel. And I thank you for the million-dollar donors in the name above all names, the lovely, matchless name of Jesus. We pray. Glory to God. Thank you so much for coming online today. Thank you so much for praying with us. And if you can, be with us at noon. Go to billybrim.org, and we will be streaming live a prayer meeting that you can watch and see. You can also go to the archives. We had a marvelous prayer meeting last Wednesday. You might want to go to the archives and take part in that. Thank you, and this is Billy Brim saying, Shalom, Shalom.